Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
We're going to have Tom Appel on right now. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. And, you know, gas prices are a little bit lower now, Tom. So I feel like maybe it takes a little of the demand off or the buzz off about electric vehicles. But we know they're going to go back up again soon and people are be interested. Thanks for joining us, Tom.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Do you see that with when the gas prices spike, there's a direct correlation to people asking their dealers questions about EVs?
We do, yeah. There was a crazy thing, too. If people remember the Great Recession when gas prices hit $4.50 for the first time, people were crazy about getting rid of their SUVs. And, of course, the supply didn't really work that way, and it didn't make a lot of economic sense to trade in your car that you're already making payments on and maybe upside down on to save, you know, a dollar a gallon on gas or something like that. But people respond very quickly, it seems, to gas price changes.
I will say, I went out and got a hybrid this year, mainly because I was looking at those gas prices. Now, granted, I needed a new car anyway, so it was a different story.
Yeah.
But let's talk. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was agreeing with you. If you need to make a change, yeah, why not try to get something more efficient?
For sure. Well, a new challenger has entered the EV market and was debuted over at the 2022 LA Auto Show. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this is interesting just because it's sort of a shock to, I think, everyone who's been watching the industry. But a startup EV company, and they're not just an EV company, they are distributing some gasoline products too, and their home company, called VinFast, showed up at the LA Auto Show. And VinFast is a Vietnamese automaker that many people may not have heard of. They've only been around since 2017, but they're already talking about building a plant in the United States and distributing cars here as early as next year. So this is very sudden, moving very quickly for a traditional car company, which they're not. They're a startup. But distribution is going to be a little bit slow through most of the country because they're going to start in California.
Mm. Why build a plant here in the U.S.?
One of the reasons to do that is the Inflation Reduction Act, which was packed with incentives for selling vehicles here only if you build the parts for them here and assemble the vehicles here. So you have to have the battery made here, and you need to have the vehicle made here to qualify for the full incentive that we used to get just for buying an electric vehicle.
Is there a size of car they're looking at, or are they kind of running the gamut?
This is virtually every electric vehicle now. So the full incentive is still $7,500. Half of that comes from the vehicle having been built here, and half of that has to do with the battery, which not only should be built here, but the components of that battery, and we're talking about the raw materials that are so rare, things like lithium and cobalt and manganese, need to be sourced here or with friendly countries.
Okay. Are they looking at selling primarily sedans, EVs, SUVs, trucks? Or do we not quite know yet the extent of what they're going to do?
So far, VinFast has shown four vehicles, and not surprisingly, especially because of the U.S. market the way it is, all of them are crossovers.
Yeah, that makes sense. How are we doing on prices? I mentioned at the top of the show that, you know, things have kind of stabilized with new cars and used cars. At least that's what I've been reading, although someone correctly pointed out to me, yeah, but the interest rates are so much higher, you're not going to be paying less per month per car. It's an interesting tug and pull here right now, Tom.
It is, and that's exactly what's happening. Car prices have eased, and it depends who you ask and if you're looking at wholesale or retail costs. But at the retail price of a used car is down from about $33,000 to a little bit under $30,000, according to most sources. So that's good news, but interest rates are really high, and it looks like, best I can tell right now, monthly payments are actually up $100 because of interest rates. So there's no more affordability whatsoever. Same thing's happening on the new car side, although sales are supposed to be flat this month, according to most analysts. So it's getting better. It's getting better, but prices are not. Affordability hasn't improved.
Right. Are we still looking at MSRPs above where, you know, as a flat rate, like, hey, you're paying above MSRP no matter what, or is that kind of cool too?
That seems to be easing, and if you're watching TV commercials, you're starting to see incentives creep back into the ads, which is nice. It's nice to see a little cash on the hood because that helps with the affordability.
I'll just take a windbreaker or something. I'll take whatever I can get. Obviously, we've all been following the news of what's happening in China and you know, their COVID policies. People worried about chips making their way back, worried about supply chain issues again. Do you fall under that camp, or is it still kind of wait and see where we go from here?
I think the chip shortage is probably starting to ease now, especially because it looks like forward orders for our chips are softening somewhat because everyone seems to be screaming recession. So the supply may improve. One of the weird things about China right now is that traditional automakers that sell vehicles in China, Mercedes-Benz and Volkswagen included, are starting to have a hard time selling electric vehicles there because the country's domestic Chinese makers, or EV makers, are starting to produce more vehicles. So that's a very interesting thing to watch, but it's a different story.
Are the 2023 cars already out?
Yes. In fact, I just drove the 2023 Toyota Sequoia Capstone.
Ooh.
Which is Toyota's redesigned big SUV. But yeah, 2023s are out and probably close to dealerships because there's not a lot of leftover 2022s.
Yeah, I imagine so. And we've kind of talked about this trend of, you know, maybe not as many lots just full of cars and inventory. Any more chat on that? Or as we start to get back to normal, do we anticipate dealerships are going to continue operating the way they've done for decades?
One of the crazy things about selling anything, it seems like you can promise the world and promise yourself that you're not going to sell things below a certain price, but if you can make just a little bit more money by selling one, people will do that and dealers will do that. So I don't believe that auto dealers, especially independent franchisees, have the willpower to not sell cars at an increasingly reduced rate to improve volume. So I don't know about what's going to happen with inventories, but I think they're going to creep back up.
Okay. Tom, we've got about 30 seconds left. What does Consumer Guide Automotive do? Where can people find out what you do?
Yeah, consumerguide.com. That's the best place to find all our stuff. We review cars. We do fun stuff on our blog. You can just check it out all from there. And our podcast, the Cart Stuff Podcast, comes back in January.
Ooh, any thoughts on what the first episode's going to be about?
Yeah, we're going to have Sam Fiorani of Auto Forecast Solutions on, and we're going to talk all about how crazy 2022 was.
You're going to do a little retrospective on 2022.
Yes.
That sounds about right. Tom Appel, you've helped us get through 2022 in Carbine. I'm sure we'll chat before the end of the new year. And thanks for joining us, as always.
The pleasure was mine. Thanks.